This podcast was recorded Friday, June 12th at 11:05 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like state officials will not agree to uncapped tax breaks that last two generations. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who now, a dozen years later, question corporate tax breaks given to job creators. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, the data center controversy. It's not going away. In fact, it's growing. But first, the effort to abolish Ohio property taxes has failed, at least for now. The group collecting signatures to put an amendment on November's ballot says it has fallen short of the number it needed to qualify. The group had to collect at least 415,000 signatures, valid signatures, by July 1st. The leader of the effort said they would not have enough by that date. But Brian Massey says they continue to collect signatures in the hopes of getting on next year's ballot.
As responsible citizens, we want to provide our elected officials with enough time to address the needed spending cuts to the bloated taxing authorities throughout Ohio and the spending priorities of the state legislators. We do not have a problem generating revenue in the state. We have a spending and a fraud, waste, and abuse problem.
Had the question made the ballot, it threatened to overshadow the fall campaign, and if it passed, it threatened to eliminate more than $20 billion in tax money that mainly pays for local services like schools, police, and fire. To analyze what happened and what happens next in the property tax fight, we turn to WOSU-TV's Columbus on the Record panel. Democratic strategist Brian Rothenberg, who also serves on the Norwich Township Board of Trustees just outside Columbus. Also on the panel, Gene Krebs from the group Better Choices for Ohio, and Ohio Public Radio State House reporter Joe Ingles.
Joe Ingles, do we know, we have a month to go before the deadline, so July 1st, right, more or less. Do we know how short they fell?
No. Brian Massey, the person you just heard there, he did not give a number. But we do know that back in April, they said that they had 305,000 valid signatures. They wanted to get 620,000 signatures because normally you need a pad when you go into this. And so he's not giving the number, but we know it's somewhere between 305,000 and 620.
So, Gene, what do you make of this effort? We have given this campaign a lot of attention. I think lawmakers, elected officials have been looking at it very cautiously. Did we give it too much attention? Did it have a chance to begin with?
It had a chance to completely reshape how politics works at the State House, and I think it's pretty much done that. The ripple of this is still going on. In talking to House Republicans, I have not discussed this with any Senate Republicans, but House Republicans have expressed a sincere concern that libertarians are out there campaigning on two issues, ending all property taxes immediately and a moratorium on all data centers immediately. And that's speaking to the Republican base, and that's terrifying to these House Republicans.
So did this effort... It's still going, so it could be on the ballot next year. We'll get to that in a moment. But for now, Brian, did it fail because of a lack of sympathy or support for ending property taxes, or did it fail because they didn't have enough money and organization to collect the signatures?
It failed because no one was going to help them. And the fact of the matter is Republicans are, on the one hand, not wanting to say that they're afraid of this and they don't want it to happen, but they don't want it to happen. And what he said has nothing to do with how this process works. The legislature isn't making these spending decisions. These property tax issues are property tax issues that are passed and voted on, by the way, by local communities. And, you know, when you're in a township, for instance, like I am on a trustee level, you've got to make decisions on funding your fire department. There are no other taxes that you can use. So it's really irresponsible. And let me tell you what could happen if they get the signatures next year. Not only will it end property taxes, but
if it passes,
if it were to pass, but the full faith and credit of most of our bonds would go down, which would lead to, as one of the largest states in the country, a major Wall Street problem. We would have complete collapse of a lot of local government, including almost all townships. It would be a disaster, and it has nothing to do with the state legislature.
So the call, as we just heard from Brian Massey, is for lawmakers to do something. They're going to be back in November with this question again. Is there any appetite at the State House to act on property taxes, or is now the pressure off? Because this isn't going to be on the ballot.
Well, okay, there are some plans that are bills that are out there that can deal with property taxes, but to the extent that it would satisfy the folks who are with the Axe the Tax campaign, there's nothing that's going to basically obliterate property taxes right now.
I think that the only thing that will make Bob and Betty Buckeye happy on this is if property taxes were reduced back to the 2019 level. Because in talking to them, that's about what they—that's what they think that this should all do. Now, they've done some interesting reforms that if they had done 15 years ago, when this issue first started, people first started talking about, it would have moderated the response on this a lot by now. But they didn't do it, so now they're trying to catch up, and their reforms, while good, just aren't big enough to move the numbers back to 2019, which is what they want.
And Gene, don't you find it fascinating that here we are, Republicans in control for 16 years, fiscal conservatives, and yet they've lost control of property taxes?
It's because they view of the tax, various taxes that are sinful out there, the biggest sin is the income tax, and they've spent all, every time they can save a dime in state government, they use it to decrease the income tax.
Which increases the property tax.
Now, you're sitting on the Norwich Township Board of Trustees. Right. One of the criticisms is there's too many government taxing agencies, too many townships, for instance. Is that a way to save property taxes by consolidating with Hilliard and Dublin and Washington Township and Clinton Township and all these townships around the state?
I mean, we already do that. We already are contracted to provide the fire services for Brown Township and have many other dual kinds of things that we do with the city of Hilliard. So that's already happening. But whether we're running the fire department or Hilliard's running the fire department, it's going to cost the same amount of money to run the fire department.
So 20 years ago, I was working with Brookings Metropolitan Department, that think tank, on this issue. And they said to me, Krebsy, you must love government in Ohio because you have so much of it. And when you look at our number of local governments and all of them having, so many of them having overlapping territories, overlapping services, overlapping duties. What we need to do is like they did for the feds when it came time to start closing military bases, a base realignment and closure process. We need to do one like that in Ohio where we sit down and study and begin to go. We need to consolidate these businesses. Because I'll tell you, townships, and I've been studying this issue for 20 years, townships, villages, municipalities, they're only doing the things they already know to do. They're not doing the things that they don't know about. And there's a lot of stuff that we found with the Local Government Innovation Fund and Council that they could do, but they're not.
Brian, is consolidation inevitable, do you think?
No, I don't think it's inevitable because the costs are the same when it comes to the fire department and running these different things. And I think that it's not going to happen anyways in a Republican-governed state because most townships, by the way, are rural townships that Republicans have. It's overwhelmingly Republican.
My thanks to the Columbus on the Record panel, reporter Joe Ingles from Ohio Public Radio, Gene Krebs from Better Choices for Ohio, and Democratic strategist Brian Rothenberg. You can check out the show anytime you want on the WOSU News YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.
Welcome back to Snollygoster. A reminder and a favor, if you like what you hear, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts or wherever platform you hear us. And don't forget to tap that follow button so you can get every episode automatically in your phone or wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, data centers. This controversy is not going away. It is growing and growing. It's everywhere, and it's just like the data centers themselves. The controversy is springing up all over the place, and they're getting larger and larger. Complicating this debate and the legislation aimed at regulating data centers is a tax break nobody seemed to know about when it was awarded. Back in the second term of then-Governor John Kasich's administration, he agreed to give big tech companies up to a 40-year, 100% sales tax exemption on equipment needed to build facilities, including data centers. Of course, data center construction has exploded. And now that tax break to Google, Amazon, and Meta, and other companies is costing the state an estimated $2.3 billion. $2.3 billion. Current state lawmakers who want to end or at least pare back that sales tax break for data centers, they are not happy because they can't change the agreements that have been in place for years and will last for a number of more years. Lawmakers tried to regulate data centers and pare back that tax break this week, but they could not come to agreement and they left for summer recess. So it's still on the table, but it's on pause for right now. Meanwhile, the data centers keep coming. A report this week says Ohio is in line for a mega data center. The tech news outlet called The Information reports the data center would cost $500 million to build. It would be located on leased federal land in southern Ohio. We don't know a whole lot of details, but that's the report this week about a huge data center coming to southern Ohio. And there is an effort to put it on the ballot in the fall to collect signatures to ban large data centers like that one. But that's very much a grassroots effort, and most believe that they probably won't make that deadline of July 1st to get all those signatures, much like the property tax question couldn't meet that deadline. All right, time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past half fortnight. This week, we give it to the Republican-dominated Ohio legislature. Legislators apparently believe laws they pass are not good enough. In particular, the voter photo ID law they passed a few years ago. Ohioans have had to show a photo ID to vote since 2023. There's no evidence it's been a problem. No one has seriously challenged it. But that law is not good enough for Republicans at the statehouse. They want to enshrine photo voter ID requirements in the state constitution. Lawmakers this week voted to put an amendment on November's ballot. If voters, after showing their ID, approve it, it'll be in the constitution. Supporters say the measure will protect the ID requirement from ever being overturned. Critics say it's not necessary, and they say Republicans are just trying to boost turnout in November. Maybe it's me, but I really don't see voter photo ID boosting turnout. Yes, 83% of people support having to show a photo ID to vote. But this is not like the gay marriage amendment, which was on the ballot way back in 2004. That did boost turnout because people, a lot of people, mainly conservatives, were really mad about states that legalized gay marriage. Those conservatives turned out and voted, and then voted for George W. Bush. That helped him win Ohio and helped him win re-election. That's the plan that they took advantage of back then, and they're trying to replicate it now. In particular, Vivek Ramaswamy is hoping for a similar wave of passionate voters, passionate voter photo ID supporters to come to the polls in droves and push him over the top. You know, I just don't think photo IDs and the requirements in the Constitution is going to have the same effect. But I could be wrong. But for trying to enshrine an established state law in the Constitution to boost turnout in an upcoming election, Republicans in the state legislature get our Snollygoster of the Week award. That will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster. We are a part of the NPR network. For our digital producer, Nick Hauser, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.